Hello everyone, thanks for coming here. I'm Danilo, I've been working on Turnip Driver for 3 years in Egalia. And I want to give a status update what we have achieved thus far and what's coming for us. Let's start with the new hardware we support. We now support a lot of hardware. And recently we started support at 700 series Adreno GPUs. We already merged Adreno 730 and 740, and the merge request for the most recent Adreno GPU 750 is being on review. There are a lot of changes between Adreno generations with for mostly performance reasons. There are registers changed and many new performance features out there. We also currently implemented only direct rendering and not tile-based rendering. Adreno GPUs are a bit weird because they support two mods, tiling and direct rendering, which is the same that desktop GPUs support. But tile-based rendering is still work in progress for now. We also support a lot of almost all 600 series GPUs, but there are some variants out there we don't support. There are 5 sub-generations of 600 series. We support all of them. So to add a new one, new variant of the GPU, we just need to change some registers there. As for our features and extensions, we now support Vulkan 1.3 and a lot of extensions with it. Most interesting one for us was dynamic rendering. It's rather simple for desktop GPUs because they don't care about render passes boundaries, mostly don't care about them. But for tiled rendering, for mobile GPUs, it's a big deal. We have to stitch together the render passes, sometimes even at the end, at the submission time. It could be really nasty. Like, the code is barely readable for it. And we have all extensions implemented for DXVK, VK, D3D Proton, and for Zinc supported. So it's great. While we do not claim Vulkan 1.3 conformance, we do regularly test Vulkan CTS. We test a lot of game traces. We test games. But with games, it feels like a whack-a-mole game right now because there are not a lot of real users out there, and we don't have a proper CI with game traces like Radvi does. Another big changes we've done are in pipelines. Our GPU has some unique way of dealing with pipelines, and with all the new pipeline-related extensions, we have to rewrite them every time in some way. But thanks to Connor Abbott, our pipelines are healthy. We've done a lot of IR3 optimizations, which is our backend compiler. They add up a lot with time passing. And we've done a lot of work in debug tooling. Because we have to reverse engineer GPU. We deal a lot of with unknown registers, unknown instructions, so we have to be able to quickly understand what's going on right there. So I want to spend some time on these debug tools we've implemented thus far. I gave a more in-depth talk last XDC. You could find it at this link. So what's our debug tool? We have GPU breadcrumbs, like in Google Flight Graphics Flight recorder. We have ability to replay common streams. We have ability to edit common streams. We can print GPU memory. We could print from shader assembly in these common streams. And we could debug register reading of undefined state from registers. I'll describe each of these features a bit more in the following slides. Why we even need our own GPU breadcrumbs? There is already a solution for this at Vulkan API level. It's called Graphics Flight Recorder from Google. It already could tell you where Hank occurs at which command. But there are two issues with that. It's two cores, because, for example, the start of the render pass could translate into like 10 or 20 bleeds at the worst case, and each of them may hang. So API level tooling could be like not great at this. And what's really prompted me to create the breadcrumbs, to implement breadcrumbs in our driver, is debugging of unrecoverable hangs when your computer or board just completely hangs. You cannot do anything. Writes to disk doesn't like come through. Like Graphics Flight Recorder doesn't work with it. And to make it work, you need some new Vulkan extension and so on. It was much easier to deal with in the driver itself by doing all the things synchronously. And it worked rather great. But this tool is currently is not used too much due to the tooling I will talk about now. Okay. Let's say you cannot even reproduce the bug. Some bugs are random, hangs occurring in different parts of the game, and so on. So the easy way to reproduce them is just to record all comments submitted to the GPU and then replay them back. I mean, for most hangs and issues, works great for reproducing them. There are a few caveats, like it's necessary to record all buffer objects submitted, and there could be a lot for some AAA game. So it works mostly for one frame or two frames. And not all issues are reproducible this way. There are some that are too finicky for this. But most of them are reproducible, so it's good enough. But it's not enough to just be able to replay the trace and see a hang in the mask. You have to have a way to narrow it down. So what we implemented is a simple way to edit the command stream. So we could decompile some submit to the GPU into very trivial packets. Like there are packet names only in comments right there. Besides some of them. It's really easy to do for probably any GPU, and even in this form, it's very powerful because you could bisect the trace and find the exact comment which hangs, even if you have like the comment, even if it's impossible to determine from any other way how to deal with it. So you could edit some part of the packet and see if it helps. If it solves the hang, you could like deal with it as with ordinary code. What if the issue is inside the shader itself? We already could compile the shaders from assembly. So with this replay tool, we could add ability to just print some registers from the shader. And the most trivial print is good enough. So our print takes temporary registers for address and so on, and registers to print. And print them. Like, it increments global counter and writes to global storage, and replay tool just reads from it and prints the registers. It's trivial, and it was incredibly useful in reverse engineering and hardware. You get the trace from proprietary driver, you decompile it, you edit the shader to print something, and you see the values and what's going on. It's incredibly useful. And the last tool in our tooling is the way to debug undefined registers, stale registers. A lot of issues are due to reading of like wrong value from the register. Some state is not emitted. Even games have issues of not emitting some state and so on. A simple solution, at least for us, it was writing wrong and like wrong values to all the registers and seeing what's breaks. And it mostly works. It's not that trivial because there are at least registers which are written at the start of command buffers and never touched again, and there are registers written in each. Like in the render pass, like register set that are set by pipelines. So we divided the registers into two categories: the ones that are set at the start of command buffer, and the ones that should be stomped before each bleed and render pass. Again. There are some other caveats, but it helped us quite a lot in debugging various issues when we implement new features and forget about some weird registers. Okay. What are the real users of our driver at the moment? Like, where you could see it? At the moment, they are emulators on Android. Why? Because proprietary drivers are terrible on Android. Not due to their code, but due to update policy of proprietary drivers there. They are not updated at all. So users are stuck with their terrible, many years outdated drivers. And with many issues. These drivers have many issues. They don't have necessary extensions. Like, it's bad. It's really bad. And emulators need new features. They need for drivers to work. They push drivers to the limit. For example, Yuzu now is able to load our driver, Chernip, and use it instead of proprietary driver. And it works rather well for them. And I remember some other emulators use the same technique to deal with issues in proprietary driver. Let's see an example. Here is some Zelda game running on Android on Adreno 650 with our driver. It's running rather great, even if it's a previous generation of Adreno. Like, FPS is nice, runs correctly, it's great. So proprietary driver is a bit weird, to say the least. Like, maybe it works with the most recent one, but it's hard to tell. Drivers are not updated, it's hard for users to update them, and so on. So there are lots of issues, and probably they don't test with these games. Okay, fair enough. We also don't really test these games, but the developers of at least Yuzu are willing to implement some debug tooling, like recording the games, the game traces, for us to easy to debug them, because like it's not that easy to launch the game without having the switch itself, like it's not legal. Okay, earlier I said that Turnip implements all the features for DXVK and VKD3D Proton. So can we run desktop games? Yes, we can run desktop games. Here you see laptop X13S running Cyberpunk. It runs via a lot of layers, like you need FX emulator to translate X64 assembly into ARM64 assembly. You need Vine for Windows compatibility. You need VKD3D Proton and so on. There are lots of layers. So we mostly test game traces, not games themselves. We test games, but mostly traces because they are easier to deal with. But we will test games more soon. So, what is the future for us? We need to support tile-based rendering on 700 series because it would maybe not give a lot of performance boost for desktop games, but it would lower power consumption and help probably on Android for their games. Mark Collins, my teammate, is working on it. And I hope we will see it merged soon. It would be great. And then we need to squeeze even more performance. There are lots of performance features we need to implement there. So even if we will not come to proprietary driver performance,